shepherding. We're talking about the ebbs and flows of life. And we're going to learn from this passage where David shared his heart what I feel are three real helpful truths for me, and I trust for you as well. This particular man, famous coach, former coach of the Houston Oilers, had one statement that he gets quoted more often than anything else the man ever did. And it was his statement that he made two types of coaches in the NFL. Them that are being fired and them that are going to be fired. You know, the reason why I shared that quote is that in regards to life, you know, there's two types. Those that are in the midst of a hurting situation and those that are going to face one tomorrow. I mean, it is just part of life. Don't we wish it would be all smooth sailing? But it doesn't work that way. The interesting part about it is we often are very private about our hurts. But the reality is they come anyway. Three responses. The first one is don't lie to yourself. Look at what David had done. This could never happen to me, was his thought. He said in this, now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Now, just ask yourself, thinking, you know, many of us have read much of what David, have read what David has written in Scripture. Do you honestly believe the man believed that? He has all of these promises of the trust in God and how he had to rely on God. But at this point in his journey, somehow or another, he deceived himself into thinking that I don't have to trust in God at this point. I have all of these other things. Now, the sad reality is that is something we all need to guard. No matter how carefully you've been walking with the Lord, there comes times when we get self-confident. We get confident in what's going on around us. I will never. In fact, as Pam and I laugh about this, this event happened 30 years ago. And Dr. McLaughlin, I think you really set us up, actually. If it wasn't you, it was Dr. Pickering. But either you or Dr. Pickering had a television group come to them and wanted to interview some young Christian couples. Well, it was McLaughlin's, right? Yeah, it was you. And you chose us. You chose Pam and I with all of our kids. And fortunately, we do not have a tape of this. You know, normally, you know, it got broadcast on television. And normally you would receive, you know, keep a tape, you know, make a tape of it and hold on to it forever. Well, we fortunately have no copy. It is horrifying enough without the copy because we remember it clearly. What was horrifying about it? Well, they had a Jewish couple. They had us as representing the Christian couple. They had some others that were overtly non-committed to anything. And they were asking our views on parenting and our children and what did we expect from our children. And I remember some of their questions about what would my kids do later on in life. Well, I was really bold, and so was Pam. Pam, you are actually bolder than I was, as I recall. And just on, absolutely, they're going to do right. They're going to never do this. And you sure they're not going to do it? No, they're not going to do this. Why? Because we're bringing it up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, we were trying to. We got out of that, and we recognized when the taping was over, we said, probably wasn't the right emphasis. But it was already taped, and clearly they didn't do us any favor. They caught those strong positions. The truth is, God used those later on to remind us. Because at different points in the journey, things hadn't gone so well. Some really heartbreaks. I wish I could say, I've never had a sleepless night with my children. No, I've had many a sleepless night. Many a times they've chosen differently than what I would have chosen. And frankly, the consequences of their choices are exactly what I thought would happen. And it's just sad. But David was caught up, and I thought of that. I remember saying this to Pam at one point in our journey. How many times have you felt this way? That this verse, what does this verse teach? Train up a child in the way he should go, and he should not And when you get old, he will not depart from it. Okay, now, you read this, and how many times have you heard that this is not a promise, this is a principle? Ever heard that? This is not a promise, this is a principle. What's the difference? When God makes a promise, it happens. When God states general principles, if you follow it, that's principally speaking, that's what's going to happen. But as a young couple, I was told that over and over again, but I incorporated that as a promise. And I had confidence that if, in fact, I just did right, everything was going to turn out right. It just didn't work that way. Not everything went the way I'd hoped. Don't lie to yourself. Take Scripture honestly. I know of a... I'm looking... There have been many a parent that have been heartbroken over their children that have chosen to go away that would be inconsistent with the way they were raised. Do you agree with that? Many a parent that had just, oh no, I can't believe this. Happens anyway. Could never happen to me. That was our problem that Pam and I had, is we had this confidence that if we just did this, everything was going to be okay. Notice what David concluded. He went on and shared this truth. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountains to stand strong. So he was saying, I understand now, looking back, that yes, my mountains are strong when you're blessing it. But there are times, he was saying, you hid your face from me because I was so arrogant, is the implication of these two verses, so self-assured that there was trouble because of it, because God withdrew his blessings. This could never happen to me. I will never do that. Ever made that type of statement? Well, I've learned in my own life, these types of all-inclusive stuff, you got to be really, really careful with. No, there's no question I live my own life with some pretty strong commitments, and I'm not doing this or that. But I am mindful of some other people. The Apostle Paul, Peter, I meant to say, was a strong, courageous type guy. He was a man's man. What did he do the night before the crucifixion? Well, he clearly stated in bold terms to those present, Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. He was saying that to the Lord. What happens within hours? He denies them. Okay? What was the problem with Peter? Peter was self-assured. His pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit. That's why it says in Scripture, Lord willing. I'm going to do that, Lord willing. I'm going to do that as long... I'm going to ask God to give me the strength to do right. Don't lie to yourself. This is a tough battle that we're in. And things won't always go right. Especially when it comes to our children. Because our children have a free will. How about people that... How many of you heard couples that say, my marriage is solid? I've heard that. A lot of people have said that to me. A lot of people have said that only to have problems later on. I'm mindful of that in my relationship with Pam. We have been married for 40 years, over 40 years, and you'd say, wow, that's secure now. You know what? There's nothing secure. It still requires me to be investing in my relationship. It requires her to invest in our relationship. We shouldn't buy a lie that everything, no, we don't have to worry about it. My kids will never rebel. Well, they proved me wrong on that one. Different points in the journey, they chose some bad choices. My job is secure. You know, I look out and I know several people's jobs have lost their jobs. Some people have been unemployed now for a considerable amount of time to a point where it's creating all sorts of pressures. There's nothing secure. I'm as healthy as a horse. I wrote that down there for myself. You know, I sit here and I'm 61 and I take no prescription medication and I'm happy that that's the case. But I'll tell you what, I'm mindful that I better be vigilant and exercising, better be vigilant and doing the right thing. And even if I do, there's no guarantees. I could have a heart attack this afternoon. I will never fall into sin. What's one of the most dangerous things we can do? Get self-confident. In the last week, I heard two more people that were involved in, you know, two more situations, people in prominent ministry that chose, you would think, no. But yes, they chose the wicked way. And apparently had for some time. Heartbreaking. None of us. We need to be walking closer. All of this is to say that we need to be very mindful that we think we're strong. Take heed lest you fall. This is a tough day. It's a spiritual battle that's going on, and each one of us better be very mindful. Don't lie to yourself. It could happen to you. You'll never do that? I hope not. But you will do right, not because you have made a personal, you know, I'm going to just man my way through this thing. No, you'll do this because you're walking close to the Lord. That's why we have a responsibility diligently to add to our faith. People who have been divorced sometimes lie to themselves in another way. They say that I can never be in a loving relationship again. Is that true? No. There's lots of examples of that, but you have to overcome it, or you can walk around in the, you know, just in the... How many people have you known that get so overwhelmed with their problems they're of no value to anything? That happens all the time. Let it not happen to us. I think of people who think they've been fired from a job, and they may have been fired because they've done wrong, and they say, well, you know what, no one's going to hire me now. I'm 60 and I'm unemployed. There's no way. Well, that's not true. We lie to ourselves. Women who have been raped or sexually abused in some other way. No one's going to care about you? That's not true. That's why you have some ladies that are able to give such wonderful testimonies of encouragement to others. God is the God of a second chance. That's what David, this psalm is in the midst of it, is this heartbreaking situation where clearly he stumbles because he got self-confident. But then God got a hold of him again and used him again. People who have serious health problems think, well, there's nothing I could do now. That's not true. If the only thing one can do is lay flat on their back and pray, you're still doing one of the most powerful things any of us can do in this life. Petition the Almighty. People who have failed morally. God could never love me now. Is that true? No. It isn't true. People have hurt some. People who have been hurt sometimes think, I can never be happy again. But that's not true either. This is what I'm talking about for us on a practical standpoint. When I read this psalm, I am mindful that I have to look at the reality for what it is. I have to understand it biblically. And if I'm off base, I have to retune my thinking. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Scripture. All of these statements are simply not true because God is the God of the second chance. God is the one that if we will respond to whatever circumstance we have biblically, our lives can be put back together. We have several testimonies within our own congregation. I had this young man that is in the hospital today because he came here to go into Healing House. I mean, into New Hope Center, I meant to say. And in the process, he hadn't been off of his alcohol enough and really had trouble with detoxing. Ended up in the hospital because it was so serious. still is in the hospital today. I went up to him and he said, I don't know if I can make it. I said, oh, yes, you can. Not in yourself, but with the Lord, yes, you can. You can make it. It's not necessarily going to be easy, but you can make it. But you can't be trusting in yourself. You've got to be trusting in the Lord. Psalms 30, verse 5, the verse before 6, where he talks about being self-righteous, he says, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. What is he saying? We just got to walk with him through the valley. And there's going to be a sunny morning. We just need to keep going in the right direction. For me, that is very important. I need to just remind myself, I've got to do right today. I don't care what the circumstances are. I got to do right. I have to do what I know I ought to do, even when I don't feel like it. Wait a minute. What if you're hurt is caused by your own sin? Does that negate the possibility to get things right? What if you're in a big mess because you have really done some stupid things? Really some sinful things? Really some wicked things? Does that negate it so that there's no hope? No. Not at all. It's right. God has every right to be mad at you when you sin. You recognize that, right? If you're a believer, he even has a promise that he will chastise you. He's going to come after you. For me, that's really easy to remember because when I think of that as a father chastening his son, because my father chastened me. So I have, when I read a verse like that, I know what it's talking about. When I would disobey my father, there would be some significant consequences that I could remember for several weeks. It was evident. Notice, says, for his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. I love that comparison. You know, I think about it in my own my rearing with my father. Yes, my dad did chasten me, but there were a lot of good times too. But when I think of my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, wow, I have been chastened by the Lord. I know those experiences very clearly. They have been indelibly impressed on my mind. But when I look at the overall, I am so thrilled I know Jesus Christ. I would not want a life without him. I would not want to face tomorrow without him. Why? Because of what it's talking about there. The benefit of walking with him, his blessings upon us is so great. Does God get angry at our sin? What's the answer to that? Absolutely. If you don't recognize it, you ought to recognize it. If you're here today and you're messing around on something that you know is against God's word, you ought to stop because God is not impressed. If you know him, he is definitely going to extract some consequences right, in this life. And if you don't know him, you're going to face him having done that, and that's even worse after there's no hope at all. Does God hold it against us forever? No, that's one of the beauties of Scripture. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. You and I need to recognize that when we have done wrong, we need to go to him. And we need to appeal to him, which is exactly what this psalm speaks to. We talked about how verse 5 at the end of his praise time talked about how it was a good thing to be able to go to the Lord, and it was a blessing in that regard. And then in 6 it told us what he did wrong. He trusted in himself. 7 explained it further, how he came to recognize that he was trusting, and when God removed his blessing he had nothing. But now look at what it says in 8. In verse 8 it tells us an important truth. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What is David telling us? He recognized that he was missing the blessing of God, and what was his response? It was exactly what we need to do. He cried out to God, appealing for mercy. When you're in the midst of troubles, do you purpose to go to God? Or do you purpose to try to solve it yourself? Our culture is this Lone Ranger type thing that we promote. It's not good. As Christians, we need to look at our lives, and when we hit these tough times, our instantaneous response is to go to Him. That's what it needs to be. We need to cry out. We need to say, Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. If I've done wrong, forgive me. Let me go forward. Help me to go forward. If you face your problems in your marriage, there's hope. If you run from them, there's no hope. But you need to take them to God. If you've been mistreated by someone else, you can just wallow in that forever, or you can take it to the Lord, and you can find strength. People have found strength even in abusive relationships. They found strength from God, even in the midst of very difficult situations. But the key for us as individuals, in the midst of whatever circumstance it is, that we cry out to Him, as it does in verse 8 of Psalms 30. I cried out to You, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. I made a request for mercy. When we face illnesses, we should cry out to the Lord. We ought to pursue it with all of our heart, the best medical treatment we can in a culture like ours. But in the end, first and foremost, we need to go to the Lord. If we're facing some impending danger, some disaster, it might be financial. Who knows what it would be? But in those situations, when we see it coming, we need to be looking up. If you're guilty of sin, you clearly need to be dropping to your knees and calling upon Him. God wants you to turn to Him. If you're hurting, He wants you to turn to Him. He wants us to be with Him at all times. He wants our fellowship. And if we want to find victory in life, we really need to have that to be a key factor, that's a characteristic of our lives. Psalms 13, I've used this in those situations. This psalm is so precious to me. If you do not have it marked in your Bibles, you should. Listen to how it plays out. How long, O Lord, will You forget me? Forever? How long will You hide Your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? What's the issue? This psalmist is feeling really alone. And he's feeling like the waves are coming in, and there absolutely is no hope. Notice how he responds in the flesh. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Now, that is exactly what Psalms 30 was saying. He cried out to the Lord. He begged for mercy. He said, help. There is no help. There's no hope in and of myself. He was honest about it. He says, listen, I'm almost on to suicide. I can't handle this anymore. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And to those who trouble me, rejoice when I am moved. He's thinking it's all over. But you know what's worth verse 5 and 6 say? But I have trusted in Your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. What is this? This is a tremendous reversal, which is a reminder to me what Psalms 30 was saying. When you're self-righteous, then all of a sudden you start to recognize, whoa, this is not working out. Where is God in this picture? And He's nowhere to be found because you have been trusting in yourself. The message is to trust God. Just as the psalmist says, trust in Your mercy. And notice how it worked out for him. My heart shall rejoice in Your salvation, and I will sing to the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully for me. What is it? What's happening? All of a sudden, instead of talking about suicide, he is giving praises to God Himself. That is a great, great model for us to follow. Praise the Lord as we go through it. Look for what He's trying to teach us and keep going. A mom and dad leaves his children. Either one of them. 30 years later, the mom or dad leaves his children. What's happening? Our culture is doing this one all the time. We're just repeating it. That's what we saw. That's what we do. What's the problem? There's no God in what's going on. They see this crumbled home, and the child never comes to understand how God is in this and how God can care for him. That's why when we come along, which we often do, along families that have been broken up like that, we need to come along and reassure them of the love of God. Reassure them that God cares about them and God has a plan for them so they don't repeat the cycle. What's going on? They're just repeating a self-assurance. They're just going to do it their way. There's no change. There's no looking for Scripture for answer. I am mindful of Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. Keeping mercy of a thousand, forgiving iniquity and transgression sins, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Well, that's happening in our culture. That's clearly happening in our neighborhood. That's happening in families. Scripture is promising that the sins of one generation will be seen again in the next generation. It looks quite hopeless. That looks really sad in light of what's going on in our culture. But there's other scripture that speaks to the same thing. Ezekiel says, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Okay, what does that say to us here? It says that in some of these hurts that we experience in our neighborhood, because the generations have done wrong, they can be broken because each generation answers directly to God personally. And if they will recognize in the power of God, they can say no to this. If they've done wrong, they can repent of this and have the relationship restored. They can go forward victoriously. They can break this cycle. We do not have to have generation after generation in prison. In the neighborhood, if you get close to the families, you often find that grandpa served time. Dad served time, and the kids are serving time. What's going on? They got into a cycle. This is life. Well, as Christians, you do not have to go there. We need to repent of sin. We need to call things the way they are scripturally. We need to see them truthfully. And we need to go to God. We need to trust Him for the victory to make it through. Now, these doesn't make it the trip easy. Some are here today and have felonies on their record. It's hard getting a job. Is that not true? If you've got some felony records, it's hard to get employed. But can you get employed? Yes. But it's going to take a lot of work. Can you do right? Yes. Should you do right? Absolutely. Should you repeat the sins of the past generation? No. We need to stand properly, our individually ourselves. Look at what Psalms 30:10 says. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me, Lord. Be my helper. He had gone through this cycle, and he comes back, and he says, Hear, O Lord, have mercy on me. If you're hurting, this psalm screams out to go to the Lord. If you're hurting, don't lie to yourself. Look at the situation and don't blame shift. If you've done wrong, admit it and change. You know, if you're having trouble with an addiction, what's one of the great things to do? Well, I'll tell you one of the great things to do if you have an addiction is decide not to do it anymore. Now, isn't that creative? Just decide not to do it. What else do you do? Well, I'd recommend you do a little cleaning house. If you have any of the things that help you, if it's pornography, throw out the pornography. If you've been using the computer to do it, throw out the computer. It's better not to have a computer than to be involved in that type of sin. or practice some other way of, but my point is to do some things about it. You got to just step up. Stop kidding yourself. It doesn't matter. It matters a lot. We need to see the world from God's perspective. We need to stop trying to see it relative to everyone around us if we really want to find victory. Don't lie to yourself about what's going on. Number two, cry out to God. Go to Him and say, Lord, I need some help in this. I am messed up. I'm so far down, I don't even know how to start climbing out of the mess. Other scripture in Galatians, I think of specifically chapter 6, says that's where a church body like ours should come along. I mentioned this young man that's in North Memorial today. I went and talked to him yesterday. You know my message to him? He was very discouraged. Yes, I understand you're struggling. But you're not alone. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I read him 2 Peter chapter 1. I read him through the passage and showed him that he could be productive, the promise of Scripture. He can be fruitful. He can be stable. He can have all of those things in his life if he'll diligently add to his faith if he's a genuine believer. If not, we need to research what is missing in regards to his relationship. He can have victory. But not only did I reassure him of the victory that is in Jesus, I reassured him that there were many of us that would come alongside and walk with him. That he was not in it alone. And some in here need to be reminded of that. If you want to go God's way, we're a group of people that want to help you. If you're one of us and are having trouble, you need to just be open and transparent about it. Hiding our sins, no one prospers. He who covers his sins will not prosper. That's literally what Scripture tells us. There's no good that comes out of that. Don't lie to yourself about what's going on. Cry out to God and ask for mercy and help and direction. And then live today trusting God for the outcome. There is a need for us to be very, very much involved in what is happening right now. If you're trying to get over or get beyond an addiction that has dominated your life, you need to confess it, and then you need to purpose to walk not 4 years later, today, right. Finish the day right. Finish the night right. And then the next morning when you get up, do right in the morning. And then do right in the afternoon. There really is nothing magic about it. Actually, it is so simplistic. Now, that does not make it easy. But that's exactly what Scripture is calling for. Look at how he said this in verse 11. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing, and you have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. The psalmist was saying, listen, there's another way. I'm going to go a different direction. It was talking about right now. He's saying, listen, I'm something else now. Because he had gone to the Lord. He had cried out to the Lord, and the Lord transformed him. That is available to every genuine believer. Notice how he started the psalm. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. Where is his confidence? It's in God. I have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I have cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. He was looking to the Lord with confidence, and he recognized, looking back, what God has done. Before I leave that, some in here are a wonderful testimony of the transformation that type of a mindset has, where just 5 years ago, you would have been crushed by the pressures of life. But now that you've grown in the Lord, you're handling the same pressures, but you're dealing with them differently. Instead of turning to a substance, You're looking up to God and asking God to give you the power to go through it. Instead of worrying so much about the future, you've decided to put your energy into making sure you live right today. It's amazing. That's a much better application of your energy. Much better investment. Verse 4 and 5, sing praises to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Do you know what the end result of this is? It's a sweet fellowship with God. He turns and the O Lord my God, I will give you thanks to you forever. He has a peace with God. Moms, if your kids have gone away, gone the wrong direction, things aren't going the right direction, go to the Lord. Do what you temporarily, what you can do, but for the most part, you get a lot of these situations are, they're old enough, they're going to do what they want to do. We can go to the Lord. We can appeal to Him, and we can rest in Him. We can be assured that He is with us, and He'll help us through it. If you're hurting, don't lie to yourself about what's really happening. Be honest. Look at it from a scriptural perspective. How does God see the problem? Cry out to God and ask for mercy and help. And third, live today. Today is the emphasis, in the present tense. Trusting God for the outcome. Because He has a way of transforming. I believe that is why He put in Romans chapter 8:28 this statement. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. Life has a lot of ups and downs. And sometimes in the downs, I've seen people go the wrong direction. We, as a group of people, need to remind ourselves to look up. We need to purpose to live today properly. And God can bless it. And God does bless it. And we can be prepared for tomorrow as a result. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would use these thoughts from Psalm 30 to stir our hearts to be honest about our lives, be honest about our circumstances, not to define them differently than the way You see them, but to see them from Your perspective. And Father, we pray that we will be, our first instinct will be to turn to You. Not our last instinct. Our immediate response to all of life is to look up to You. And then, being truly connected with You, I pray, Father, that You would help us to walk each day carefully. Each step, one step at a time, trusting in You with all our heart, and leaning not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging You, that You truly will direct our paths. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.